Well, on this first Sunday of December, I've entitled my sermon this morning, The Holidays, only I've spelled that D-A-Z-E, The Holidays, because that's what it can feel like. And we see it coming, don't we, all year. It's kind of that dark cloud on the holiday, on the calendar that's approaching. And as soon as we start getting the emails about Black Friday and all the sales that are going on, the tension and stress begins to build up because we start thinking about all the extra things that are a part of what's already a very full plate. I mean, we're already overextended. Our schedules are already busy. And now we've got to add the holidays. I want to make a couple of disclaimers as we begin. The first one goes without saying, but if there's anything I've learned in my preaching career, if something goes without saying, you say it anyway. When I speak of the holiday season this morning, or the events of December, I'm not making any religious overtones. I'm not making any spiritual connection to this time of year and the celebration of the birth of Christ. We find in the scriptures that the disciples celebrated, as our brother said already this morning, Jesus' resurrection from the tomb. That's what was authorized in the New Testament. And so when I use even the word Christmas season, I'm not making a connection to Jesus Christ, but rather the secular things, the family things that go along with this time of year. And that leads to my second disclaimer. I'm on record as someone who loves this time of year. You might get the impression by some of the things I have planned to say that I'm an Ebenezer Scrooge up here. But I look forward to the holiday season. I love the weather that usually accompanies this time of year. I love the music that goes with this time of year and the decorations. I love the time with family. And so I'm a big proponent of the holiday season. But I have some warnings this morning about the holidays that can also accompany this time of year. If we're not careful, these contribute to our own days. We begin to wonder, why isn't my life like a Hallmark movie? Why isn't my house decorated like that with garland and lights everywhere? And why isn't my family like that family? And even when they do have problems, why can't my problems be solved in the way their problems always work together? And so we contribute to this holidays. And we need to be mindful of others around us during this time of year who, for various reasons, aren't as excited when the calendar turns to December. For some, number one, the holidays are days of mourning. This time of year is a time for mourning. Several years ago, I was talking to one of the funeral directors in our area, and we had sadly been together quite a bit. And as we approached the end of the year, I just asked him, I said, "Now, are you going to take some time off for the holidays?" And he said, "No." He said, "People die during the holidays too." And we've learned that over the years. And mourning is part of the human experience. It's all through the Old Testament, this idea of there being days or a period of mourning. We see it, for instance, in Genesis chapter 50 at the death of the patriarch Jacob. Remember, he had moved his family to Egypt, where they had settled in the land of Goshen, and there Jacob died. And so we read in Genesis chapter 50, beginning with verse 1, "Then Joseph fell on his father's face and wept over him and kissed him. And Joseph commanded his servants, the physicians, to embalm his father. So the physicians embalmed Israel. Now 40 days were required for it, for such is the period required for embalming. And the Egyptians wept for him for 70 days. During that whole period, they wept for Jacob. Then it came time to take him for burial in the land of Canaan, as he had made Joseph promise." So look at verse 7. "So Joseph went up to bury his father, and with him went up all the servants of Pharaoh, the elders of his household, and all the elders of the land of Egypt, and all the household of Joseph and his brothers and his father's household. They left only their little ones and their flocks and their herds in the land of Goshen. They also went up with him, both chariots and horsemen, and it was a very great company. And they came to the threshing floor of Atad, which is beyond the Jordan. They lamented there with very great and sorrowful lamentation, and he observed 7 days mourning for his father." 7 days was the Jewish period of mourning. They would bury someone on the same day that they died, and then for 7 days they would hold feasts and time for the family to be together and mourn the passing of their loved one. Days of mourning. Later on, we read that when Moses passed away in Deuteronomy 34 in verse 8, the sons of Israel wept for him for 30 days. He was their great leader. There was no prophet in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. And so they wept for him for 30 days. You ever wonder how it came to be in our country that when a president dies, that the flags are lowered to half-mast for 30 days? That's to signify days of mourning. And since this is the human experience, sometimes the holidays are days of mourning. This is powerfully illustrated at times when we come together as a family for the first time after a loved one has passed, and we sit down together to eat, and there's an empty chair. My dad always sat at the head of the table every year. Everybody else was different places. He was always at the head, and my mother was at the other end because that was the one closest to the kitchen in case anybody needed anything. But those were their chairs, and those chairs are empty. What do we do in this days of mourning? I want to suggest you give the gift of comfort. In the holidays, you can give the gift of comfort in the days of mourning. Days indicate that it takes time to mourn. And this time is different for everybody. We can't expect for people to all be the same and to mourn the same way and to mourn the same length of time. And so you know what we're going to do? We're going to choose to give comfort to those who are mourning, because we know that's what the Lord would do. In Job chapter 2 and verse 11, do you remember why it said first that Job's friends came to him? They didn't come to preach to him. Now, they ended up doing that. They didn't come to condemn him. They ended up doing that. But the reason they came to sit with Job, and they did so for 7 days and seven nights. In Job chapter 2 and verse 11, it says they came to sympathize with him and to comfort him. They heard about the things that had happened to their friend. They heard about the trials he was going through and all the loss in his life. And so they came with the gift of comfort. You ever think to yourself, well, I just don't know what to say. And I don't know what they need. Well, Job's friends sat there for 7 days and seven nights, and no one spoke a word because they saw his pain was great. Sometimes the gift of comfort comes without words, just your presence. Where does this come from? Hebrews 4 and verse 15, we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with us. Who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. But one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. And do you know what that included? That included Jesus dealing with death. Jesus knows what it's like to weep and to mourn. And so just like he is a comfort to us when we have times of need, you give the gift of comfort in the days of mourning, even during the holidays. Number two, for some, these are days of loneliness. You know, we think of the holidays as our family being together, getting to see people we don't see all year, everybody all together telling stories, laughing in the house. But it's not that way for everybody. These are days of loneliness. God made us to be social creatures. What is the first thing that caused God to say in creation, it is not good? Everything else, it is good. It is very good. But when he saw Adam without a companion, he said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I was taking business classes at A&M. I was required to take a marketing course. Ended up being one of my favorite classes that I took because we studied throughout history all different kind of products and brands that were tried on the public. Some succeeded and some did not. One that flopped miserably was by the Campbell's Soup Company. For a time, they marketed a soup that was a smaller quantity, smaller can, and some executive had the brilliant idea to call it Soup for One. And people were embarrassed to buy it. I mean, they might as well be at the checkout counter telling, yeah, I don't have a date tonight, buying soup for one. Yeah, I'm going to be eating alone tonight, soup for one. Why? Because we crave companionship. How many times do you see that in the Scriptures? The Lord was with this person. That's what it says about Joseph in Genesis 39. All the things that happened to him, sold or hated by his brothers, sold into slavery, the slave in the house of Potiphar. But the Lord was with Joseph. He wasn't alone. Falsely accused of rape by Potiphar's wife, thrown into jail. The Lord was with him. What did he say to Joshua after the death of Moses in Joshua 1 and verse 9? Be strong and courageous. Do not fear, The Lord is with you wherever you go. David in Psalm 23 and verse 4, I will not fear walking through the valley of the shadow of death, for you are with me. Notice how Jesus picked up on this same terminology in John chapter 14 when he was talking to his disciples. John chapter 14 and verse 1, a famous passage, let not your hearts be troubled. Well, why were the apostles troubled? What was causing them consternation on this night? Because Jesus had told them, I'm going away. And so they thought, well, who's going to be with us? Who's going to lead us? Who's going to be there for us? And so he said, let not your hearts be troubled. I'm going away, but I'm going to come again. But notice what he also promised them in John 14 in verse 16. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. That is, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it did not behold him or know him. But you know him, because he abides with you and will be with you. I will not leave you as orphans. I'm not going to abandon you. You're not alone. And of course, the last promise to them before he ascended back to the Father, commissioning them to go into all the world and preach, but he said, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Matthew 28 and verse 20. So you know what you can give to those experiencing in the holidays, days of loneliness? You can give the gift of companionship. Letting them know, I am with you. In Ecclesiastes chapter 4, the wise man speaks words that you hear often at a wedding ceremony about husband and wife, but their original context was just companionship. Two friends, two companions being together. Ecclesiastes 4 and verse 9, two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. For if either of them falls, the one will lift up his companion. But woe to the one who falls when there is not another to lift him up. Furthermore, if two lie down together, they keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? And if one can overpower him who is alone, two can resist him. A cord of three strands is not quickly torn apart. You see how he makes the case of two better than one, both in defending yourself on a winter night, two travelers keeping one another warm, going through life, bearing the burdens. Two are better than one. Give the gift of companionship. Do you realize that there are some people who, when you say the word family, their family is the spiritual family? Maybe their family in the flesh has died. Maybe they don't have a close relationship with their family on the earth. And so give the gift of companionship. I am with you. These don't need to be days of loneliness. We like to think of this time as the time of year we send out Christmas cards, holiday greetings. Well, don't neglect cards of encouragement, cards of assurance, cards of sympathy, cards that say, I'm with you. And then number three, the holidays cannot just be days of mourning and days of loneliness. They can be days of stress. Days of stress. We see the signs during this time, joy to the world, and we think, not in my life. Peace on earth, not in my house. Because all we're thinking about is our to-do list and everything we have to get done as the calendar counts down. I want you to remember that Jesus himself dealt with stress in his life. You want to talk about a schedule that was full? The gospel writers say there were times where he and the disciples did not even have time to eat. You want to talk about the pressure of responsibility? People crowding around him with such numbers that they're stepping on one another, trying to get close to Jesus, to hear what he's saying, or to be a recipient of one of his miracles. In Matthew's Gospel, Mark's Gospel, chapter 6, I want you to notice what Mark says was Jesus' response as all of these things were upon him. This was the same day he had heard of the death of John the Baptist, as his disciples reported to him. It was the same day he had tried to escape to the other side of the sea to be alone, to pray, and the disciples, or rather the crowds, the multitudes, prevented him. In verse 33, the people saw them going, and many recognized them, and they ran together on foot from all the cities and got there ahead of them, and he sent them ashore and saw a great multitude. So Jesus is trying to be alone, and the crowd is following him, and so he sends out the head of the PR department and says, Jesus will not be making any appearances today. Jesus is having to cancel his schedule. He's had a death in the family, and so please respect his privacy. Look at it. He went ashore and saw a great multitude, and he felt compassion for them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. Ever been interrupted by a little kid? Just wanted to show you something. Just wanted to ask, can you play? You think, I'm busy. I've got important things to do. To Jesus, these were little children, lost sheep wandering around. And he came to be the shepherd. You know what you can give someone, even in the days of stress? You can give them the gift of compassion. It's what Jesus did, even when his own life was full of pressure. He felt compassion, and he did what he came to do. This word is also translated mercy or pity in the Scriptures. Compassion. You know, there are people during this time of year who are stressed at the thought of finances. Just this week, I'm working on this outline and the phone rings here at the building. And it's somebody who lives in our area and they wanted to know, does your church have a ministry for Christmas gifts? Do you help families who don't have money to give gifts to their kids? And there are people who feel like that. And so you can be compassionate. There are people, because of stress, who may not be friendly to you when you're checking out at the store or you're driving on the highway. So you know what you can do? You can give the gift of compassion. I understand. It's amazing, isn't it? We think about lights this time of year, holiday lights. Well, we still have to be lights to the world. And one way we can do that is to show compassion, be merciful, show pity. So then, as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other, just as the Lord forgave you, so you do also. Colossians 3, verses 12 and 14. Give the gift of compassion, even when the other party is not being very compassionate with you. Be a wonderful way to escape the holidays. I have on my desk in my office a book stand built by Cecil Bolton, and on it sits a dictionary given to me by Ernest Lester. And I looked up the word holiday in the Oxford English Dictionary, and it said, festivity or recreation when no work is done. Well, that's my biggest concern about the holidays, that no work for the Lord is being done. And so let's be on the alert. Let's recognize who needs what we have. And let's be about giving gifts of comfort and companionship. And yes, even compassion. I'm certain, like you did, I got all the emails warning about those Black Friday deals. Last day, expiring, last chance. And then what do they say the next morning? Extended! We might be tempted to think of the judgment that way. It's our last opportunity. I'll do it. Better do it now. Oh, I'll have another chance. But when the Lord decides it's time, the day of mercy has ended. Are you ready to meet Him this morning? Not only do people die during the holidays, the Lord could come during the holidays. Let's be certain we're ready for that day, that you've confessed your faith in Jesus and have your sins washed away. If you need the comfort and companionship of your brothers and sisters, we're going to sing a song that would encourage you to make known your need in the gospel right now while we stand up and while we sing.